He was making a terrible noise, and I suppose I was in a panic, and I was unaware that Ragnar and his men were almost helpless with laughter as they watched me try to kill the East Anglian. I did in the end, or else he just bled to death. But by then I had poked and stabbed and torn him until he looked as though a pack of wolves had set on him. But I got a third arm ring, and there were grown warriors in Ragnar's band who only wore three. Rorik was jealous, but he was younger, and his father consoled him that his time would come. "How does it feel?" Ragnar asked me. "Good," I said, and God help me, it did. It was then that I first saw Breeda. She was my age, black-haired, thin as a twig, with big dark eyes and a spirit as wild as a hawk in spring. And she was among the captured women, and as the Danes began dividing those captives among themselves, an older woman pushed the child forward, as if giving her to the Vikings. Breeda snatched up a piece of wood and turned on the woman and beat at her, driving her back, screaming that she was a sour-faced bitch, a dried-up hank of gristle. And the older woman tripped and fell into a patch of nettles where Breeda went on thrashing her. Ragnar was laughing, but eventually pulled the child away, and because he loved anyone with spirit, gave her to me. "Keep her safe," he said, "and burn that last house." So I did, and I learned another thing. Start your killers young, before their consciences are grown. Start them young and they will be lethal. We took our plunder back to the ships, and that night as I drank my ale, I thought of myself as a Dane. Not English, not anymore. I was a Dane, and I'd been given a perfect childhood, perfect at least to the ideas of a boy. I was raised among men. I was free. I ran wild. I was encumbered by no laws. I was troubled by no priests. I was encouraged to violence, and I was rarely alone. And it was that I was rarely alone, which kept me alive. Every raid brought more horses, and more horses meant more men could go farther afield and waste more places, steal more silver, and take more captives. We had scouts out now, watching for the approach of King Edmund's army. Edmund ruled East Anglia, and unless he wished to collapse as feebly as Burghred of Mercia, he had to send men against us to preserve his kingdom. And so we watched the roads and waited. Breeda stayed close to me. Ragnar had taken a strong liking to her, probably because she treated him defiantly and because she alone did not weep when she was captured. She was an orphan and had been living in the house of her aunt, the woman whom she had beaten and whom she hated. And within days Breeda was happier among the Danes than she'd ever been among her own people. She was a slave now, a slave who was supposed to stay in the camp and cook. But one dawn as we went raiding, she ran after us and hauled herself up behind my saddle. And Ragnar was amused by that and let her come along. We went far south that day, out of the flatlands where the marshes stretched and into low wooded hills among which were fat farms and a fatter monastery. Breeda laughed when Ragnar killed the abbot. And afterward, as the Danes collected their plunder, she took my hand and led me over a low rise to a farm that had already been plundered by Ragnar's men. The farm belonged to the monastery, and Breeda knew the place because her aunt had frequently gone to the monastery to pray. "She wanted children," Breeda said, "and only had me." Then she pointed at the farm and watched for my reaction. It was a Roman farm, she told me, though like me she had little idea who the Romans really were, only that they had once lived in England and then had gone. I had seen plenty of their buildings before. There were some in Jofrik, but those other buildings had crumbled, then had been patched with mud and re-roofed with thatch, while this farm looked as though the Romans had only just left.